We present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting scene in the Times and read by Brian Perkins.
Hundreds of people were held up when a lorry carrying Utterly Butterly spread overturned, blocking westbound lanes of the M4. Jams were reported on most major routes.
Thanks to Paul Peard and Melvin Ellis for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Jeremy Hardy, and a newcomer to the News Quiz, Norman Lovett. Facing them on my left, Francis Ween and Sandy Toksvig. Jeremy, your first question. Who's been shuffled off this week?
Ian Duncan... Sorry, I sniffed then. That was ungainly. But I've got cold. Ian Duncan Smith this week said, the public out there in Britain are not the slightest bit interested in the reshuffling of the Tory cabinet. And sadly for him, that is completely true. Because normally when a politician says, I don't think that real people are interested in the fact that I'm the advance party of an alien invasion fleet planning to take over the world, those aren't the concerns of real people. But in fact, nobody is even slightly interested in the fact that he has placed Theresa May in the job of making people slightly interested in the Tory party, which is a terrible omission. But she's already dropped a terrible clanger. Because she said, in, as one of her first statements as the chairperson of the Tory party, that the Conservative Party is a decent and tolerant party. And that's just not true, is it? It's a haven of weirdos. And Moneybox listeners. I'm surprised they're still going, the Tories. I mean, do they have regular meetings and stuff? I mean, what's her job going to be as chairman? She'll say, well, I'd like to call the meeting to order. And if there's a... no other business, perhaps we could go straight to Treasurer's report. Well, we seem to have nothing in the bank, so it only remains to thank the vicar for the use of the hall.
I quite enjoyed all the stuff in the papers about there being a porn star who's also called Theresa May. And there was a thing in one of the papers comparing the two jobs. Interesting, you know, one woman whose job is, you know, to please a lot of men, and the other one whose job is to be in sex scenes in films, and
but this one, the Tory one, I have the impression that she has this reputation for wearing leather trousers and leather miniskirts and stilettos and that sort of lark. Is this right?
I think her toes are a foot long in her shoes. My colleague said that the last time anything as pointed as that appeared in politics, it was buried inside Trotsky's head.
They've thought this through properly, haven't they? Women and gay men are going to be very attracted by her leather trousers, apparently.
It is a curious thing, though. We never, ever discuss what David Davis wears. Indeed, now he's gone from the cabinet, I can't bring his picture to mind at all.
I don't know what he looks like.
He wore that extraordinary Elizabethan beekeeping costume. Yeah. You must remember.
I don't even know what he looks like.
He looks like a boxer. He's got a broken nose or something very like one, and that's why he's been put up against John Prescott as his sparring partner.
It is an extraordinary job to shadow John Prescott, isn't it? I mean, that's a fairly big shadow to cover, really.
Well, it's not because Prescott has no job. I mean, apart from being Deputy Prime Minister, he hasn't got a department or anything.
He has got a job. His job is to shaft the working classes in their own accent.
How do you do the scoring in this quiz?
Oh,
was
I
there
just
a question
make it up.
Then?
No,
what
just make
happens,
it, up.
It seems to...
Make it up.
Oh, right, OK.
The new shadow cabinet following the sacking now consists of Thingamy, Wasname, that bloke, the funny-looking one, and Francis Ween. As the new party chair, Theresa May's main task will be to attract more donors. They've got to get fresh supplies of rhesus negative for Michael Howard's midnight snacks. Norman, welcome to the News Quiz. Who's been accused of...
Oh,
I'll say it again, so
thanks
can say thank
much.
You.
Thanks.
Norman, welcome to the News Quiz.
Thank you very much.
You're awfully welcome.
I like manners. I enjoy manners. Yeah. And...
Norman, you're most welcome to the News Quiz.
Thank
Who's
you.
Been accused of doctoring...
I just did a little one then, a little minimal one that I thought I could sneak in. I'll just do it with my hand next time. Okay, do it again, go on. Hit me, Simon. Well,
Norman,
after the show.
Who's been accused of doctoring the performance tables?
Oh, blimey.
It's to do with league tables.
Yeah, I know, but what, doctors. Football? Football? Or hospitals? Hospitals, is it hospitals?
Yes.
They all get points, don't they? For if you've been in a trolley for 12 hours, you get good points for that. Big points. And they're saying they've been fiddled, are they? Yeah, people. He was in 11 and a half hours and putting down 12, you know. And it wasn't 12 hours. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that the sort of thing you're looking for?
Yeah, sure.
And the top of the league was a hospital and the bottom of the league was another hospital. Okay.
Absolutely right.
There you go.
There was a very good woman in front of one of the hospitals that had been rated zero. She was the executive director of accounts, financing and things that are nothing to do with anything medical. And she said, the fact that we are zero doesn't mean we're not a good hospital. It just means it takes a jolly long time to get in here. But once you're here, it's really terrific. And then showed shots of the corridors, people patently dying in the corridor. It was quite extraordinary. But it is a 0 to 3 rating. Is that right? What's the highest? What's the best you can have?
It's stars, isn't it? It's like hotels.
Did I get any points for that anywhere earlier?
Yes, you get three. Oh, you get 3 points.
Three, thank you.
Two for getting the question right and one for courtesy.
Thank you. Thank you.
This week saw the publication of the latest NHS performance ratings, which now include a hotel-style grading system with stars. Two of the worst trusts have already been franchised out to new management. So when you go in for a kidney transplant, they say, would you like fries with that? Sandy, which bishop hopes
Hello,
to start...
Hello, Simon. How nice to see you. Let me just say what a pleasure it is to be sharing a platform with you. Brian, you're looking well. Dr. Rowan, named after the berries, I suspect. Lovely, and pleasingly, looks a bit like God. And a little bit like Brian Perkins, but I think that went without saying. You say God, and people immediately think Brian Perkins. The thing is, I like him because he's already said all sorts of controversial things. He wants to stop Mr. Blair going to war in Iraq, and he wants to let Charles and Camilla get married, and he wants to be nice to gay people. I think he sounds lovely, myself. And this has upset the right-wing Christians. I don't understand those words together. Do you see right-wing Christian? You never get right-wing Buddhists, do you? You never get... It's a very odd thing. Don't you think, Jeremy, having politics and the word Christian next to it is very odd, strange?
Well, the only thing that I kind of think is even slightly weird about the new Archbishop of Canterbury is the fact that he's the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's got impeccable politics. It's just that slight glitch that he's got this rather stupid job.
He likes The Simpsons, so that's a good sign for me. That he's better than the other bloke. I didn't like the other bloke. I've never met him, but I just didn't like him. Sorry. After all those manners, you know, just went downhill.
Rowan Williams is known in the Church of England for his controversial views, including support for women priests, his decision to ordain a gay man, and his rather embarrassing belief in God. Francis, who's in prison for not a day more and not a day less?
Geoffrey Archer, 2 points.
Yep.
He had it, one of his many appeals this week. And it was dismissed, I think, in record time. The appeal court took 2 minutes to send him straight back to prison. I don't think he even got out of the van to go into the court before they sent him straight back, because they decided, oddly enough, that his sentence of 4 years was not manifestly excessive, as they put it. Understatement of the year. I mean, 40 years might have been about right. But anyway, he's safely under lock and key, and it's such bliss. Everything's been so much quieter since he disappeared. There's a little irritating drone in the back of your head as if you thought you had tinnitus coming on for years and years, and you didn't know what it was. Then suddenly Archer goes to jail, and your head is clear. You never hear this noise again. This distant
Well, imagine
hum.
What it's like for prostitutes. He didn't actually go, did he? He stayed in jail, and I bet when his mates said, Jeff, how'd you get on? Did you get leave to appeal? He probably just made it up. And he said, yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, the Lord came down a thunderbolt and smote my enemies. And I am now the ruler of the universe. Can he sue once he comes out?
Lord Archer was said to have blocked off his cell windows with paper to get some privacy after he heard the news. And let's hope his new novel doesn't see the light of day either. We start round two with a cutting from the July digest of Northwest Arts magazine.
A film company making a documentary about ancient Egypt is looking for extras. They'll be shooting some reconstructions of ancient Egyptian life on location in Bolton.
Thanks to George Stephan of Liverpool for that. Jeremy?
Yes?
On what date are you going to die?
January 27th, 2040.
No, it's a wrong answer.
Oh, it's the giant hemorrhoid that's landing. The Earth is being stalked by a giant pile romping through space, and we're all going to die. But never mind, because there's worse troubles at sea. Tidal waves and everything. But yeah, it's going to be 2019.
February 1st, 2019.
In early Feb. Yeah. So that's not so bad, is it?
That seems quite...
You know, you've had Christmas and you're pretty depressed.
Yeah, true. It's always a bit of an anticlimax that time of year, isn't it? You're waiting for something to happen. And Easter doesn't really cut it, does it? That's a very good point, Norman.
You're waiting for spring. Yeah. You get this lot instead. Go work.
I worked out that in 2019 I shall be 60 and my pension will just be about to kick in. And I wondered if it was a ruse by the government to say, oh, sorry, there's no money, we're spending it all on asteroid protection. I'd be ready to retire and get hit on the head by something. It's terrible.
It's 2.5 miles wide, isn't it? Big thing. Big lump.
Oh, yeah.
And it will cause, when it hits the Earth, it will cause massive dust. For 8 months you won't see the sun, but, you know, what's new, you know? And it'll cause earthquakes and things, so let's not worry about it, though. Let's not worry about it now.
And let's cross that bridge when we come to it. No point worrying about it now.
Don't make plans, I wouldn't.
No. Well, if it slows down, though, before it hits Earth, will it not be so bad?
Well, it's going crazy slowly already. It's going to take another 17 years to get here.
So it might just be doing about 5 miles an hour.
Conic southeast of asteroids.
Might just land safely if we all hold out a big blanket for it. 2.5 miles wide. It's not that big, is it?
We could catch it.
Mattresses.
But yeah, put a load of mattresses and cushions
well,
down.
If it landed on the dome, it might bounce away again.
The impact of asteroid 2002 NT7 could cause continent-wide destruction and severely alter the global climate, unless George W. gets there first. Norman, listen to this. Norman, why would it be okay to go like greased lightning in future?
This is to do with driving, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. They're going to say, if you go too fast, you're going to be banned, right? But if you pay £200 and have lessons on how not to go as fast next time, that'll be, you know, it's going to help people, help drivers.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a good thing, isn't it, I think? Don't you, Simon? I think absolutely. It's a good thing.
So is it like a sort of Catholic penance? You think, oh, I can afford it, I'm going to do 110 today, and then just say really, really sorry. Is that how it works?
Yes.
And you just pay the money?
Yes.
Fabulous.
Well, I think there should be a black box in every car. This is an idea I've had for some time now. And I think you have a black box. Even when you don't indicate, it all goes into the black box to Swansea, right, where it's totting up all the points. And we have a league table every year of the best drivers and the worst drivers, right? And the top 200 get free tax or something, you know, a little incentive, and the bottom few hundred get banned. And so next time, after they're banned, they'll learn to be better drivers, and then everyone in the world will be really good drivers after a few years.
Is this the first forum you found for this idea?
Yeah, it is, funnily enough. Yeah.
I think there's quite an obvious flaw in it, because the moment Prince Andrew's one was beamed down to Swansea, the computers would seize up, and that would be the end of it.
Well, at this point, I think we should throw it open to the audience.
As part of a shake-up of penalties for motoring offences, the government intends to let speeding motorists escape a driving ban by paying up to £200 to take part in safe driving courses. The government has long promised to remove thoughtless pests from the road, yet it still hasn't banned cyclists.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Ooh, that's how they got here, is it? Oh, yes. Sandy, does my bum look big in this?
Yes. Next.
Francis, why...
Boys are getting fatter, that's the fact of the matter. All boys are getting fatter, and the amount that a boy is getting fatter is in direct proportion to the number of times he wants to go to my supermarket without a shirt on. It is one of my complete bugbears, and I'd like to broadcast this on national radio. There isn't a man in Britain who looks good without a shirt on. Not One, please don't do it in the frozen food section, or particularly, particularly near the root vegetables. It is really horrible. Honestly, I can't check the melons for ripeness. It really is. Can't be doing with it.
It's not that men are getting fatter. It's just that we look fatter because men are doing more cooking. Because it used to be that the only time we held cooking tools was the barbecue, and the forks are really long. So when you hold one of them, you look really small in proportion. But when you do real cooking in the kitchen, then you're just holding a small fork, which is only about 4 inches long, and you think, God, he's grown that one. He's... That's what it is.
Jeremy, the fact that Jamie Oliver pretends to cook on television is not a social trend. It does
it's
not
true.
Mean...
And he really likes things from Sainsbury's. They don't pay him to say that.
I saw him in Lidl's last week.
Did you? Lidl's makes Summerfield look like Waitrose, doesn't it? Lidl sells things like wine-flavoured drink.
I think that's why everyone's getting fatter, because Asda and Lidl's are very cheap now. And I think more people are saying, yeah, let's eat more. You know.
What we're going to do is, in the year 2019, all the men are going to stand together in the middle of Britain, and the asteroid will land and it'll bounce off.
But it's attractive, though, isn't it? It's attractive when men are a bit fat. Women always say that about men. Oh, well, I think it's a bit... Oh, yeah, love handles. You want something to get hold of, don't you? Oh, yeah.
Jeremy, what dream world are you...
All right.
It may be that I'm the last woman in Britain to comment on this, but really...
Other women, Sandy, say this.
Do they?
All other women.
All those women going, all right, men are cooking and I like it best when they're really fat.
Really fat and bald and incontinent. It's distinguished. I love when people say things like that. They say, oh, I think it's a few streaks of white hair. And, oh, yeah, they're distinguished. On the head, perhaps, to make the penis look like a badger, don't they? Actually, the only genuine love handles are ears, really, aren't they? A woman might need to hold for certain steering purposes.
You go back to Lidl's, though. I have to admit, I do buy things from Lidl's. There are some things, if you're selective, you know, it's good.
Norman!
You've got to take what?
It's legal to steal from Lidl.
But you have to pay for the bags. So you take your own bags along there, and, or a box, you know, and just go around. But some of the people are very fat in Lidl's. So have trouble getting out once you get into the place. But yeah, good German chocolate in there. Carry on.
A survey has found that men's hips have grown by 2 inches on average over the past 30 years. And yet another survey this week revealed that women use 9 parts of their brain to get in touch with their feelings, whereas men use only 2, which they keep safely in their trousers. Francis, why is Big Brother watching our little sons and daughters?
Why is Big Brother watching over little sons and
daughters? It's got nothing to do with the TV programme Big Brother.
Oh, it's not this primary school library scam, is it?
Yes.
Where these poor little 8-year-olds taking books out of the primary school library were fingerprinted... And it's a system whereby, after that, whenever they take a book out, they can just have their thumb scanned, and out goes Topsy and Tim, or whatever it might be. And this has been going on for several years without anyone grumbling. Very efficient system. But then some parents said, oh, it's in breach of the Data Protection Act. I don't want my little one being watched by Estelle Morris from the cradle to the grave and having his thumbprint on the police records, because... Apart from anything else, you see, I mean, if these things can recognise small children's thumbprints, they must be amazing technology, given the collection of stuff on the average 7-year-old's thumb, sort of bits of melted chocolate and congealed dairy dunkers and that sort of thing. But anyway, apparently they can recognise anything. And I think they're legal. The objection has been overturned, hasn't it? Overruled.
It because is worrying,
it's quite legal to get children's thumbprints on police files early, so that when they reach grown-up age, like 12, and they're going around mugging people and smashing into stores, then the police have already got them.
Well, it saves carrying a card. They lose cards, kids, so, you know, makes it easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, most of them don't lose their thumbs. Well, quite a few do, obviously. Right.
In Saudi Arabia, they do. 2 days overdue, that's a thumb.
I think Lidl's should use that idea for getting in, you know, and getting out to stop.
Why don't they just check the dirty thumbprints that are on the books?
Hang out the whole hog and have total DNA tests on every child who's taking out a library book.
Children in Ruislip and some other places have to flick a thumb through a fingerprint scanner in order to take out books. In a scheme described as more secure than anything MI5 has got, the news was described as appalling by the Conservatives, a fundamental breach of human rights by the Liberal Democrats, and a bloody good idea by David Blunkett. Before we start the final round, here's an item from the Fleet News.
A car washing firm in Idaho has found a way to ensure a steady stream of custom. Young women wash the cars topless while the driver sits inside, which is more interesting than staring at the average SO4 court while the brushes roll over. Unfortunately, the local council is now trying to ban the girls, but 22-year-old Daisy Mace and her three colleagues are said to be appealing.
Yeah. Jeremy, listen to this. That was Travis not singing Why Does It Always Rain on Me for the first time ever on the radio. Which bill, Jeremy, had the MPs backing by not backing a bill?
Norman knows.
Only a bit. Oh, right, OK. A licence, if there's more than two musicians playing in a pub, they have to have... they pay £20,000 a year for a licence. And Billy Bragg was protesting about it outside the Red Lion, which is near Downing... There's a Red Lion near Downing Street.
It is, yeah.
Because it's not right, is it? I agree, it's not right.
That's right. There was a pub in Greenwich, which was the landlord was prosecuted because of the audience stamping their feet during a song. Now, that can only have either been the bit in The Wild Rover, which the audience could probably help me with now in the studio, and it's no, nay, never. Or... It might have been the tap sequence in Lullaby of Broadway. Good night, baby, good night. Milkman's on his way. Rubbish. There's no discipline in audiences anymore.
An all-party parliamentary music group joined Billy Bragg and the Red Lion Pub at Westminster to highlight the archaic law that requires a music licence when two or more people sing in a public place. Billy Bragg made a statement in the pub saying it's essential for musicians to be able to sing, though it doesn't seem to have done his career much harm. Norman, who had a shiny coat and a cold, wet nose, face, tail and all four paws.
Yeah, I know this. The dog, Labrador, Rock... What's his name?
Todd.
Todd. A Rod, I was going to call him Rod. He jumped off or fell off a yacht in the Solent.
Yes.
And,
cows or something, was it?
Cat.
No, it's dogs.
No, it's dogs, yeah. Cows can't swim. They're useless at swimming. Well, unless the udders are full, then they float. Anyway, so...
But milk, not air.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
A flotation.
No, that, yeah, I didn't think that through, sorry. But they fart a lot, so, you know... Zip along.
Did you grow up in a city, Norman?
I was brought up by seagulls.
Oh, yeah.
Where were we?
Dog fell off.
Oh, dog, yard. Yeah. Dog, Rob, not Rod, no. Todd. Todd the dog. Lovely dog. Pictures of him in the papers everywhere. He swam for 10 miles. I mean, that's extraordinary. And the owner met him, sort of said, oh, you know, walking home. And Todd came up to him. And you can imagine what would have happened there. They must have embraced and everything. Well, he got wet. He'd have taken his shirt off first. Lovely story, that.
Is that it?
That's it.
10 miles, walking Jeremy. On. How many miles can you swim?
Yeah, but I don't drink water out the toilet.
Now, Jeremy, that's not entirely true.
I don't enjoy it.
How do you think you get a cold at this time of year?
That was walking barefoot on the seat.
I think that dog should get a medal and should be in the papers again another time.
Didn't rescue anybody. Didn't rescue
Yeah, but he would have done. If he'd have seen someone drowning, he'd have probably dragged him in, you know.
Because the dolphins would already have rescued them.
Yeah, that's true.
Dolphins are man's best friend.
Dolphins get a fair amount of publicity, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah, Rob the dog.
Todd. No. Todd, a 2-year-old Labrador, swam 10 miles home after falling from his owner's boat. Todd was found exhausted on a beach near Bewley after spending several hours playing volleyball in the hot sun without wearing a hat. Francis, which new police vehicle has received a less than electrifying reception?
I think it's in Kew Gardens.
It is.
The police force in Kew Gardens. I didn't know there was a police force in Kew Gardens until this week. It's not a great crime hotspot, as far as I know. But they do have a Kew Gardens police force, and they've been made to drive around in a little 10-mile-an-hour electric buggy thing. And they're all receiving counselling because children and pensioners laugh at them.
I think they only laugh when they put the blue lights on. I think that's...
Well, the report I saw just said that they've been laughed at by children and pensioners, so presumably anyone between that age that isn't cruel enough to do it. Those children and pensioners, they can be awfully beastly when they put their minds to it.
It's very sweet, though, is the Royal Botanical Gardens Constabulary. And what I want to know is how you grow up thinking, I'd like to be one of those. To be the person who spots that one taking a cutting from an azalea.
You do feel there's a great ITV series in there somewhere. Flower detectives.
I think he's going to grass him up, Sarge.
Hey. It's going so well.
I think a spokesman said they're not going to have a siren fitted to it. Because it only goes 10 miles an hour, doesn't it? It's top speed of 10. Unless it had a slow siren. That would work then, yeah. Chasing an old lady across the...
You could just have a large flycatcher on the front, couldn't you?
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
What do they call a Venus flytrap? One of those things opening and closing at the front. That'd be quite good.
Police now want a vehicle that will give them rather more authority. Like a space hopper. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cinema listing from the North West Evening Mail.
Barrow's Odeon Cinema Classic, Gary Cooper, in High Midday.
I like that.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final scores. Sandy and Francis have 16, but thanks to Norman's exquisite courtesy, Jeremy and Norman are this week's winners with 17 points. With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Norman Lovett, Sandy Toksvig and Francis Wheen. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by Paul McKenzie and George Poles, and the producer was Lucy Armitage.